Both communities share a similar genetic heritage, diet, and lifestyle. Yet 20% of the children in one community suffer with asthma, while only about 2% of the children in the other community suffer. And so today, we pause to ask, why do so many Hutterite children have asthma, while so many Amish children remain unafflicted?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1070th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Punta Arenas who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at MetroFarm.com. Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Greetings.
Question.
Fire away.
Do you think it possible for a parent to train the immune system of their baby to resist diseases?
You know, I think there might be things one could do. I'm not a doctor, but I have a suspicion.
Hey, we've got a doctor on the line.
Yes.
Okay, folks. The numbers, as presented in a paper published by the New England Journal of Medicine entitled Innate Immunity and Asthma Risk in Amish and Hutterite Farm Children, are striking. Now, how many of you out there would actually read a paper like that? I guess I'm one of many who have, because the numbers really are quite striking. Whereas 20% of the Hutterite children in North Dakota suffer asthma, only 2% of the Amish children in Indiana suffer the affliction. Now, the rate of asthma in the general population is about 8.5%. So we see that the Hutterite children suffer asthma about 250% more than the general population, while Amish children suffer about 400% less asthma. Both the Hutterite and Amish communities share similar backgrounds. The Hutterites originated in Austria, the Amish in Switzerland. Both groups tend to have large families and lead very simple lifestyles. Both groups share similar diets, do not expose children to tobacco smoke, nor allow pets in the home. In reading the paper, I was reminded of past shows on the Food Chain radio show, including show number 775, The Amish Allergy Anomaly, and number 662, An Amish Autism Anomaly, and got to thinking, could the difference be related to the hygiene hypothesis of disease resistance? And hey, so today we ask, can the immune system of a baby be trained to resist disease? Here to help us search for an answer, we have the co-author of the Innate Immunity and Asthma Risk paper, Ann Sperling, who is the Associate Professor of Biomedical Sciences at the University of Chicago. Ann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you aboard. Now, let's start from the very beginning. What on earth does a doctor of immunology do?
So first of all, just to be clear, I'm not a physician. I'm a PhD scientist.
Right.
And so I do research, and I study asthma both in humans and in animal models. And I study the immunology of asthma and how the immune system goes wrong, basically, and causes asthma instead of just fighting diseases like it's meant to do.
Okay, good. Now, when I searched for Ann Sperling, PhD, University of Chicago, some LinkedIn photos popped up of the professor you, but there's also an interesting photo that popped up of a gal in a long green dress playing with a heifer in a green field. Something tells me there's a story there.
Well, that's not my photo. I don't actually know where it came from, but some of the news outlets who covered the paper actually found that photo. It's not one of ours from the university.
Something that just attached itself to you then.
Yeah, somehow. Well, attached to our paper and then attached to me. But it shows a picture of an Amish child, basically, very intimately hanging out with cows, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a couple pictures like that, other pictures of a boy in an Amish hat also that has shown up, but again, didn't come from our group.
Okay, but it's kind of thematic for our show today, that gal playing with a heifer in the field. Let's go back to...
tell you that members of our community, our research group, it's a big research group. It encompasses actually four or five different groups to do this study. And members of them do have pictures, and they are wandering out there. And especially you can see the difference between the dairy barns of the Amish, where the cows are just all in one big pen, mm-hmm. Hanging out, versus and that the cows are actually milked by hand in an old-fashioned style, versus the Hutterite farms where the cows are milked by
machines,
technology, yeah. And machines. Yeah.
Good. So let's go back, and because there were a lot of people involved in this study, I looked at the list of holy smokes, it looks like you had the creme de la creme of immunology there. What made you all get together and study this particular situation between the Hutterite children and the Amish children?
So I actually personally came into this story a little bit later than some of my other co-authors, but it actually came from two different papers that were independently published. One by a colleague at the University of Chicago, where she found that the Hutterite kids were getting asthma at a higher rate than they used to. And that was published in a journal of allergy and clinical immunology.
So not only did they have a high rate of asthma, but the rate of asthma was increasing.
Right. You know, I'm not totally sure that they have a higher rate than normal American kids. Actually, when I've talked to Carol Ober about this, she said that it's similar rate. So I don't know exactly. I know you said it was higher, but I don't think that when you look closely, the numbers totally hold up like that.
Okay.
But the Amish kids definitely are protected against asthma and allergy, dramatically protected. And so you get back to your original question. Carol had this paper.
We're talking about Dr. Carol Ober from the University of Chicago as well.
Yes, yeah, Dr. Ober. And then another paper was published by two more of our co-authors, Mark Holbrook, who I believe was on that show that you mentioned about allergy.
Oh, good.
And Erica von Mutis, who's been studying the hygiene hypothesis for several decades now. And they published a paper that actually showed that the Amish kids had really low levels of asthma and allergy. But the question remained, why? And so these two groups, they know each other, and they started to talk about it. And there's so many similarities between the different groups. We thought we would do a study to see what's going on between the different groups.
You know, one of the interesting things about doing radio shows about the Amish people is that they're almost like a control group, you know, for the rest of the world. You have the Amish people that do things in the old way, and then the rest of the world who's, you know, heading headlong into the modern times, as it were, and the modern technologies. And the Amish kind of provide a control group for the world. And I just guess why I find them fascinating. But
right. And that's why, but, you know, most studies just compare the Amish to the rest of the world. The nice thing about this study is we were able to compare the Amish to the Hutterite children, which have a lot of similarities compared mm-hmm. to the Amish to the rest of the world, which have, you know, no similarities. They're totally different groups of people. So that was one of the clever parts of this study design, actually.
Good. And then before we go to our first break, you mentioned the magic words, a hygiene hypothesis. What is that?
So the hygiene hypothesis, very simply, is this idea that as we have become more industrialized and have water treatment plants and we live in clean houses and we're inside more than we're outside, that our immune system doesn't have enough to do, that we're too clean, and our immune system, some people will say, is bored. And that allows it to be to maybe look for other, like bored children, you know, they look for other entertainment.
Right.
And so the immune system, if it's not being stimulated, the idea would be that it responds to things that it shouldn't. And so one of the things it shouldn't respond to, for instance, are allergens. Allergens don't cause disease. You know, dog dander, cat dander, pollen, they don't hurt us. There's no reason for the immune response to respond to them. But
they are. And folks, we're going to take a quick break. And this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Ann Sperling, Associate Professor of Biomedical Sciences, University of Chicago, and you. Today we're talking about our immune systems, and we're comparing the immune systems of Hutterite children, Amish children. Big difference in the rate of asthma. Why? Does it have something to do with the way they farm their crops, raise their children? That's the question. 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain. We will be right back.
Wow, MetroFarm.com says we can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
And we don't even have to own the land. We can lease it year to year.
MetroFarm.com says we can grow fruit on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, vegetables in city greenbelts, and ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
We can even grow flowers on our wooded hillside.
Get all the information you need to grow for profit at MetroFarm.com, including the complete guide to earning 5-, 6-, and 7-figure incomes by farming small parcels of land. Meet the farmers who earn the money. Find experts at MetroFarm.com who will examine your property and assess which crops to grow. Meet consultants who will help steer your project to profitability. And get the latest news about the business of growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
We've always dreamed about farming a small parcel of land. At MetroFarm.com, we can get all the help we need to stop dreaming and start growing.
Well, folks, if you are a Hutterite in North Dakota and you have children, you got to worry about asthma. According to a paper published in New England Journal of Medicine, 15 to 20% of the children are affected by asthma, whereas in the Amish community of Indiana, only 2 to 4%. Incredible disparity. Why? Does it have something to do with the way they grow their crops, raise their children? That's the question on the table today with Dr. Ann Sperling, University of Chicago, and co-author of the paper. Dr. Ann, let's start with asthma. What exactly is asthma?
Well, asthma is an inflammatory response in the lungs that actually causes the lungs to produce more mucus than it's supposed to. It makes the smooth muscle in the lungs actually clamp down and make it very difficult to breathe. And it's a chronic disease that has episodes, so people can have good times and bad times, but they have a hard time breathing. I actually am a lifelong asthmatic myself, so I totally understand how unfortunate it is to have asthma.
Now, is asthma a disease, or is it a response, immunological response to something?
Well, it's a disease caused by an immunological response.
Okay.
So the answer is yes.
Okay, good.
And why the immune response is out of kilter and doing this to the body is not clear, and this is one of the main questions that we strive to answer as immunologists.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's back up a little bit, and as long as we have you here, perhaps you could give us a real brief thumbnail on how our immune system works.
Okay, so the immune system, there's two major parts of the immune system. There's something called the innate immune system and something called the adapt immune system. And the innate immune system, the biggest part of the innate immune system would be your skin. It protects you from everything, right? Skin, mucosal layers, all of that is innate immunity.
It's like our armor.
for our armor. But now we actually understand that there's certain cells in the body which are also part of the innate immune response that come in and take care of things when foreign things are in there that shouldn't be in there. They come, they take care of the situation.
They're like the police.
They're the police. They take care of it. But they don't have what's called immunological memory. And that's where the adaptive immune response comes in. The adaptive immune response is the response that protects us against getting the same disease again later, infection again later. So the classic one would be chickenpox. You get chickenpox. Chances are you're never going to get chickenpox again. And that is the adaptive immune response that remembers the chickenpox virus and goes in and as soon as it sees it is able to take care of it before you get sick. Once you've had the chickenpox or have been immunized against the chickenpox virus. So that's the adaptive immune response.
So adaptive then would almost connote the fact that it can be trained.
Yes, adaptive immune response can be trained. That's the whole concept of vaccines, right? That we train the immune response so that it can now remember that, you know, it's seen that virus or bacteria or whatever before, and it's going to take care of it before you get sick.
And so it's like, here, body, here's a bug. Remember this bug. Whenever you see this bug, go get it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's amazing. It's an amazing system of multiple cell types that remember and different proteins, antibodies that also remember that you've seen that for your entire life. I mean, when you have one of these diseases as kids or get immunized as kids, you know, this lifelong immunity, it's pretty impressive that we have, right?
Amen, and thank you, good Lord, for that one, because we'd be in big trouble without it, I suppose, given all of the things that I've been through. So then let's go back to asthma, and we see the fact that the Hutterite children have more asthma than everybody has more asthma than the Amish, right?
Right, and actually asthma rates have been increasing over the last half century since they've been keeping track of it. The CDC has been keeping track of it. There's several studies that have come out that show very clearly that asthma rates are going up every year. So it's a big question. Why is that happening?
Well, and it's not just asthma rates that are going up every year. It seems like the rates of all kinds of things are going up every year. Another one, of course, that I ran into with respect to the Amish was the rate of autism in the general population as compared to the Amish community. And also, I don't know what the rate is with respect to Amish and whatnot, but food allergies, the rate of food allergies are increasing significantly. Now, is a food allergy in the same kind of situation where the immune system just isn't working?
Yeah, it's basically the exact same concept, but instead of affecting the lungs, it affects the gut, right? You eat something that's totally, you know, doesn't hurt your body at all, like peanuts, right? Mm-hmm. And some people have a major immune response to those peanuts. And it's so bad in that case that it actually can cause anaphylaxis and death if you know people aren't careful. So
you're kind of on the trail of why these immune cells are not quite clicking as they should be. That's what you're digging into with your research then.
Right. And it's there's a lot of data out there that many immune mediated diseases, so asthma is an immune mediated disease, food allergy, a lot of autoimmune diseases like MS and type 1 diabetes, these are all immune-mediated diseases. Pretty much all of them have been increasing over the last half century.
Well,
so it's a
why?
Problem. Yeah, it's why. So this study that we did, it's only looking at asthma and allergies, and it's in a small group of children. So, you know, we can't say everything about all diseases, but we definitely found major immune differences between these two groups of children. And so this gives us a really important clue to what's going on between with the immune system when we're getting these diseases.
So we have the Hutterites on one hand and the Amish on the other. And the Hutterites live in North Dakota and the Amish in Indiana. Now, is there any climatological or geographical variables there that would make a difference?
So that is a potential difference that we can't control against, that there's, you know, they do live in different climates. They're both northern climates. It's actually South Dakota, the Hutterites that we studied.
Okay.
But they are different climates, and we can't control for the fact that these children live in different areas.
So that's one thing we can't.
With human studies, there's always things we can't control. But the amazing part was, and this is the beginning of our study, is that when we looked at the genetics of the two groups of children, they were incredibly similar. So we can't totally rule out genetics as playing a role, but we can strongly argue that there's not a genetic difference between the two groups of children.
And the Hutterites came from Austria and the Amish from Switzerland, so not much difference there, right? Even in the geography, they're both...
Yeah, in fact, one of my co-authors told me that in reality, they came from about 50 miles away. It was across the border, but it's very close where they came from, so the two groups. So yeah, and then because they tend to marry within their community, there's not a lot of genetic diversity or mixing with the general population, and that makes it a very nice population to study, because we can not rule out genetics, but assume that it's not playing a huge role.
We can kind of set it aside and say, well, we'll look at it later. But
yeah, maybe there's some differences.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that there's big differences, and there's clearly not differences. There are a lot of genes that are associated with asthma and allergies, and those genes are not different between the groups. So.
Good to go then. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. Today we're talking with Dr. Ann Sperling. She of the University of Chicago. She is an immunologist studying the immune system of the Hutterites and the Amish, and noting a huge difference. If you would like to ask her a question, we are at 831-479-1080, and we will be right back. Welcome back, folks. There is a great disparity between the rate of asthma suffered by Hutterite children and that suffered by Amish children. Almost 20% by the Hutterites, only 2% by the Amish. What causes the difference? That is what we're looking into with Dr. Ann Sperling, the professor of immunology at the University of Chicago. And Dr. Ann looked at both along with a group of researchers and came up with this incredible realization that there is this disparity. But there's not much disparity between the groups of people. We have the Hutterites from Austria, the Amish from Switzerland, literally 50 miles apart, came to the United States, both set up agricultural communities, and they live pretty much isolated within those communities. And so we have a kind of a good control to look at and try to figure out what the difference is. It doesn't seem to be the geography. It doesn't seem to be the genes. What about the lifestyles, Anne?
So that's one of our major hypotheses, that there's a difference in the lifestyle. The Amish, everybody sort of has this image in their head of Amish children in the fields and with the horse and the plow and milking the cows. So, and it's definitely true that this is much more a hands-on farming situation for the children. The children are in the barns, they have chores. Whereas the Hutterites, while they are farm children, those children actually are not in the farms. The Hutterites farm communally, so a lot of the whole community has one big farm, and so it's an individual jobs to be the farmers. Actually, other people do other things for the community, and really, children are not in the farm in the barns. It's really men and maybe older boys, but that's it. And the children.
And they probably wear gloves, too.
I don't know if they wear gloves. But the children, I mean, they're outside. They're farm kids. But they're not really in contact with the animals, and they're not really part of the farming industry. So that's one big difference, where the children are in the farms. The second big difference is how they farm. The Amish farm in very traditional methods. The Hutterites actually use modern farming techniques. They use machines. They use combines. They use milking machines, as we talked about already. So it's a much more modern farm. It's, it's not like...
Do they use pesticides?
So, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know the answer to this, but somebody else asked me, and I asked Dr. Ober the question. She said the Hutterites, she didn't know whether they used it on their grain. So they're only farming in the colony that we took the children from is farming for the grain for the cows. It's really a dairy farm. And but the families have their own garden farm, you know, they grow their a lot of their own food. And in that garden, they don't use pesticides.
Okay.
So we don't know what happens out in the fields, but we know that the farming that they do for their own food, they don't use pesticides. And I actually don't know about the Amish at all.
Yeah, that would be what I don't think Amish do, but I would be really curious to know whether the Hutterites are using the genetically modified varieties of corn and soybean when they grow their animal feeds. And if they are, that would indicate the use of a lot of herbicides, at least, for sure. But that's something that I would set aside as an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that. But one of the big things I want to get back to, if I can,
sure.
is our mouse studies, because I think it's what gave us basically the main clue about what we think is going on, and actually what made this actually quite an amazing story, which is that what we found is in the homes of the Amish children, it's not that they're dirty homes, but there's a lot more microbial products in the dust than in the Amish homes.
Ooh, what do you mean by microbial products?
So, bacteria and viruses, they make things and, you know, proteins and lipids and other products, and we could measure those in the dust. So we didn't actually measure the actual bugs themselves, but we could measure that there were...
What they left behind.
Yeah, and it's probably because, you know, the Amish are in and out of their house and their barns over and over again during the day. Whereas the Hutterites, you know, the men, they actually go to the farm, they work all day, and then they come home, take off their clothes, take a shower, and live with their family, right? So it's much more
clean.
Separated from the homes. And so those microbial products gave us a clue, and we did mouse studies. And what we found is that, and this is another group, a group in Arizona who did this work, led by Donna Vercelli, what she found is that when you gave dust from the Amish homes to the mice, they were protected from asthma. But when
Wait a minute. So
yeah.
you took the dust from an Amish home and fed it to the mice?
Well, we actually they made a liquid out of it, an extract out of it, and then they actually put it in their lungs through their nasal passages, and they did it every other day, so it'd be like you were breathing in, like the mice were breathing in the dust, and they did it from the Amish homes and the Hutterite homes, and the Amish homes dust. And then we have a model where we can induce asthma in the mice. This is a scientific model. And when we gave the mice the Amish dust first, they were protected in that model. But the Hutterite dust did not work. And so this is where animal studies take us to the next level of understanding, because now we understand that actually there's something in the dust that these children live in that could be protecting them against asthma and allergy. So, I mean, we can talk for a long time about lots of possibilities, pesticides, GMOs, you know, but it's really hard to get down to proving that. And this is now a way that we have actually found that the dust, contains something that can protect mice, at least against asthma. And then just to continue on, if I can, the other thing we found in my own laboratory is that the blood from the Amish
children. Oh, wait a minute. Can we hold that? Because we're going to have to take a break in just a minute.
Okay.
And this is way too good to jump over here. And you, when you talked about the Amish barns and the animals all being in the... I was raised on a farm like that up in Belfry, Montana, my grandfather's mm-hmm. farm. And I guess, you know, he was what the Amish would be. It's the same kind of agriculture. And, you know, I remember milking cows in the barn and filling up the buckets. And, you know, the barn was filled with cow dung. And you took these buckets and you walked across a barnyard filled with chicken dung. And you poured the milk into the separator, and it separated the milk and the cream, and you drank it, and nobody ever got sick. And I just wonder.
It's possible. I mean, well, everything is the problem with these kind of stories is it's all anecdotal, but it's been shown by Erica von Mutis, another one of our authors, that actually, if you're a child on a farm, you're much more likely to be protected against asthma, and that's across the board, and especially if you're a child on a farm during infancy. So,
and there it is. Right back, folks. Don't miss this one. 831-479-1080. Well, there is a difference between the Amish and the Hutterite children with respect to the rate of asthma, and we're tracking it down with Dr. Ann Sperling, University of Chicago. Took some dust from the Amish households where the rate of asthma is extremely low, and fed it to some mice, and then took the dust from the Hutterite households and fed it to some other mice. And lo and behold, the asthma mice from the Amish community were protected, but those from the Hutterites were not. And so how do we translate that now to human beings, Anne?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's going to take a lot more studies to try and figure it out. We did see remarkable differences in the immune response, of the Amish and Hutterite children, and it was in some ways remarkably close to what we saw in the mice. So it was a really great study that we could see these similarities in both humans and then a model that we can use to test it. You know, knowing what to do with your own children is a bigger question.
Well, before we go there, what did you see when you looked at the blood of the Amish children and the Hutterite children? Did you see the same thing you saw with the mice?
So one of the amazing things that we found was that the blood just... in the kids, you know, hanging around was totally different, had many, not totally, but had many, many substantial differences. Some of the biggest differences were in the innate immune response cells and that I had talked about. So there's one type of cells called neutrophils. These are incredibly important to life. They're the cells that immediately go to a wound when you cut yourself or scratch yourself, they're the ones that protect right away. And the Amish kids' neutrophils look like they were being stimulated all the time, like they were constantly being stimulated, whereas the Amish kids' neutrophils looked much more quiescent, like they weren't really doing much. And we think that it's because perhaps, and this is somewhat hand-waving at this point, we don't know for sure, but that the Amish kids, because they're in the barns and around the animals much more, they actually have more stimulation of the innate immune response all the time. And that mm-hmm. maybe this is what the innate immune response was supposed to do in the first place. It was supposed to be at this level. And maybe the Hutterite kids look like us, you know, the rest of the population, in that their neutrophils aren't busy. They're kind of bored, right?
Kind of bored, like you were talking, like bored children,
right.
Not knowing what to do. So let's go get in trouble.
Yeah, so we think that maybe this And then when we actually, in the lab, stimulated those neutrophils and other cell types with something that would activate them, what we found is that the Amish children's blood cells actually responded, but it was more of a measured response, whereas the Hutterite kids with these bored neutrophils, they went wild. They really responded very strongly. And so, again, it's sort of the idea is that perhaps this stimulation of the immune system at a higher level all the time measures out the immune response so that it doesn't respond too much when it doesn't need to.
So when it sees, when the immune cells see trouble coming for the Amish, it'd say, oh, it's them again. But when the Hutterites' immune cells see some trouble, it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Or oh my God, there's something to do.
Yeah.
So they really respond, and that's basically what we saw with the cells in the lab, that they were responding much more in the Hutterites and the Amish kids, and so there may be something to learn from that. And of course, we can't. One of the problems with human studies always is that it's very hard to get to a mechanism like that. We know that this is causing that, right? And that's what's nice about going back and forth between animal models and human studies, because when we see certain things, now we can go back into the mice and say, is this also happening in the mice, and can we cause it to happen? And it's been very gratifying to be able to make those connections.
Well, let me ask you this before we go to the break. Were the Amish children and the Hutterite children as cooperative as the mice?
Yeah, actually, they're very cooperative. The kids, I actually wasn't on the field trips to go get the blood, but I've heard a lot of stories from, and the kids are really excited about being involved in the studies. They do it for free. They give us their blood. We give them lollipops and candy, you know, as a reward. And even the small children. Of course, the children have to agree, and the parents have to agree and be consented. And we don't study anybody who doesn't want to be studied.
Sure. But in working back and forth between the children of these two groups and using what you think and testing it out on mice, can, and then you can take what you've learned in the mice and go back to the children then.
Right. Well, that's actually the next step. We haven't done that yet.
That's going to be what we're going to finish with. We'll have a few minutes left in the radio program, but boy, that is the big question. Now we have this knowledge that kind of confirms that which we've always known, right? I mean, the hygiene hypothesis is not new. It's been around for a long time, correct?
It has been around. It's been around, well, since 1989 was the first paper that coined the phrase, actually, hygiene.
Okay, and then probably something some mothers have known all along as well. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Dr. Ann Sperling from the University of Chicago. We're talking about the immune system of children and the difference between the immune system of the Hutterite children and the Amish children, why there is such a big difference in the rate of autism, or not autism, but asthma in both. 831-479-1080. Well, before we talk about where we're going from here with Dr. Ann Sperling, let's quickly go to the phones and pick up Trace, who has a question that all kinds of people have asked me to ask. So, Trace, welcome to the Food Chain.
Well, thanks so much for taking my call. Great program. Of course, I agree with you 100%. We know it's been out for decades. It's theory. I think it's a fact personally. But the other question is, my understanding, and I've read a lot of articles about this over the years, the last 20 years, the Amish have much lower rates of vaccines. They have vaccines have also been linked to asthma and autism, of course. Just watched the movie Vax that recently came out. But the leading CDC scientist has come out to admit that the MMR vaccine causes autism. I mean, it's pretty well known the Amish don't vaccinate or have much, like 90% lower rates of vaccine and autism both, and asthma. It's all interlinked. Vaccines also cause asthma, and numerous studies have proven that as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's ask Ann what she thinks about that. What about vaccines?
So I disagree with some of the authors, the questioners' statistics. the Amish do vaccinate their children, not 100%, but neither does any other group. And for that matter, so do the Hutterites vaccinate their children. And in our study, all the children were vaccinated. So of the things that we
studied, good. So you can eliminate that variable then.
Was not a variable. Yeah. So, I really can't speak to that topic, but I don't agree with a lot of the comments that the...
Well, if all the children in your study were vaccinated, I guess that kind of does answer it. So let's take what you have learned and look into the future, because one of the things the comments on your study suggested that, hey, maybe we can make an aerosol spray.
Well, this is an idea that people have latched onto, though we never suggested it ourselves. But the idea is that, you know, if we can figure out what in the dust is protecting the children, you know, maybe we can just expose children to this kind of
Didn't you do that with the mice?
Well, basically, but we took all the dust and we showed that it worked, right? So, and we don't know if it's something unique about Amish house dust or whether it's just that they bring in the barn dust with them and it's the barn dust that does it. In fact, we have some new data that maybe argues that it's barn dust itself that does it. Mm-hmm. But maybe, moving forward, if we could figure out exactly what's in the dust, maybe we can expose children to it, have them breathe it in, have a spray, and maybe that would damp down their risk of getting asthma later. There's a lot to be done before we see if that would work. And certainly those are the kind of studies that we can do much quicker and with more efficiency in the mice, so we could, narrow down exactly what's going on. It's hard to tell people to spray dust into their kids' face.
Well, here are some genuine Oody barn dust here. So just spray this on your kid when they're sleeping and they won't have asthma when they grow up. Well, that's what you're working on. That's what you're pointing to here, that there is a way to manage this if we can figure out all of the variables.
Right. Parents can change their behaviors, and maybe there's a lot of things have been shown to already protect children against the risk of asthma and allergy. Now, this is, over a large population. Yeah. So
go play in the barn. We're out of time. Ann Sperling, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Chain today to open our eyes about the possibility of playing in the barn like we did when we were children. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in that food. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.